All right, so John chapter 20, we're going to read beginning in verse number 19. 20 verse 19, and the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your resurrection and just the hope that it gives us. And we just pray that you would bless us this day as we ponder these words, and just pray you would help us to understand what you would have us to know today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our focus this year has been on a consideration of the implications of the statement Jesus made here in John chapter 20 and verse 21, where he said, As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when we think about it, we've been going through this for almost the entire year, and our study has taken us through the Gospels, it's taken us in the book of Acts in the New Testament, as well as taken us back in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, as we think of things that prophetically spoke of Jesus, but also have a secondary application to us. And with all of that, we've considered the vast scope of what we as believers are sent to do. We've considered the spirit in which we are sent, and we've also been considering the resources with which he sends us. And so, as the year is drawing near to an end, this study is going to be drawing near to its end, but we've now come full circle and really we're returning to where we started. And this passage here, Jesus has risen from the dead. He has appeared to a few, to Mary and some of the women, and to the two individuals that were on the road to Emmaus. And they have come and they've brought word to his disciples that Jesus has risen from the dead. And of course, the disciples struggled to believe that. They remain skeptical, which I think all of us in the same situation probably would as well. And of course, in the situation they're in, that just 3 days ago, that the Jewish council had been able to, with a mob, arrest Jesus and bring him through this mock trial, and they were able to convince Pilate to crucify him. At least that's how they would have seen it from their perspective. And so, with all that happening, they probably thought, well, maybe they are going to come after us next. Maybe that same mob that arrested Jesus, soon they might be coming to get us. And so they were hiding out. They were meeting in secret behind locked doors. And so, for Jesus suddenly to appear in the midst of them, defying laws of physics, and of course we don't exactly understand how that all works with a resurrected body, but we know that it happened. We don't really necessarily have to explain it, but we can think of just how it would have been a great shock to them. We can understand how just the whole situation would be very difficult for them to process, right? That we see in another passage that they assume that they were seeing his spirit, even though we really recognize that none of that exists, but that's, we think so often, is that's what people immediately go to find explanations for things. Maybe they would have thought they were dreaming. Maybe they thought they were hallucinating. And who knows? We realize, too, is that they've been in such deep grief for the last 3 days. To have the joy of seeing him again, of thinking this is too good to be true, and then where they're trying to take it in and accept it, we can really understand that they're on a real roller coaster of emotions within, that they would go from fear to relief, to joy, to doubt, and back again. And so it makes sense when Jesus comes into the midst of them, the first thing he says to them is, Peace be unto you. And the word peace there it has that idea of the tranquility, right? And he's trying to say, calm down, everything's okay, don't be afraid, don't be disbelieving. And he's trying to help calm them down emotionally. And you can think of it, just a few years ago, that Jesus was with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a great storm. And in the midst of that great storm, he spoke, he said, "Peace, be still." And you really kind of think of it that I think the wind and the waves, that they probably responded a lot faster than the disciples did here in trying to have peace, that they were emotionally still had great upheaval within them. But yet, and so we realize that they're still having some difficulty to settle down. And so realizing that, I think we would read verse 21, and where he says to them again, "Peace be unto you," our tendency would be to assume that the first part of his statement there in verse 21 has very little to do with the latter part of his statement, where he says, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." But really, we want to identify that would be a wrong assumption for us to make. Because really, the grammar and the syntax of the sentence doesn't allow for that. If these were two separate sentences, we could say, okay, they're not really related. But the fact is, they're two phrases of the same sentence connected by a colon. And grammatically, we recognize that when a colon is used in a sentence, it informs the reader that what follows the colon proves or explains or defines what preceded it. And so we want to understand that having peace being upon us, that's connected with us being sent by him. And it is on the basis of having his peace laid upon us that we are being sent. As well, it is also in the state of peace that we are able to go forward as he sends us. And so we see in the next verse that he says that they needed to receive the Holy Ghost. And we've already been considering that, of how having the Holy Spirit's indwelling and anointing and empowering, that's essential for us to do our Master's will. That we can't do that, any of what he wants us to do, without him. But we want to understand is that God's peace upon us is just as essential for us to do his will. We need to go forth with his peace. And really, if we don't have his peace, it is unlikely that we will go forth at all. And so think about what we've considered in this study as to the vast scope of what we are called upon to do and what we are expected to encounter as we do it. That we think we're to teach all nations, we're to be witnesses for Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth, we're to preach the gospel, we're to bind up the brokenhearted, we're to proclaim liberty to the captives, we're to comfort all that mourn. That the scope of our mandate is immense, to the point of being overwhelming to us. We question how we could ever fulfill that mandate. And that's why we realize it is only by the empowering of the Holy Spirit that we have any hope of doing so. But coupled with that is also the knowledge that many that we go to are not going to receive our message favorably. That we're sent as sheep in the midst of wolves into an often hostile crowd. And we can be expected to suffer persecution for Christ's sake as we seek to fulfill his will. That Jesus himself lays that out. He says, if they've hated me, they're going to hate you. And so we can expect that. And so with all that, it can be understandable why there aren't scores of believers that are every day surrendering to be missionaries. It's understandable why so many of us find it difficult to be a witness just to our friends and neighbors. We know that we should, but too often we're crippled by anxiety. We immediately, our mind envisions the worst case scenario of what could happen if people don't like what we're trying to share with them, of what they might say to us, what they might do to us. And we know that we have what the world needs, and we can be convinced mentally that we should be proclaiming it, but the emotional upheaval within us too often prevents us from speaking up and sharing the truth. It is almost as if we want God to absolutely guarantee everything's going to be okay, that there's not going to be any negative responses, and that everyone we speak to will automatically and enthusiastically accept the life-saving truth that we're going to share with them. And we hope that's all in place before we feel confident that we can step out and be His witnesses. But we see in the Scriptures that Jesus doesn't give us any guarantee to that. He lays out to us the dangers and challenges we will face, and we can be thankful for His honesty. He's not just trying to tell us something and then there's some fine print that we find out later. Why is this happening? Oh yeah, that happens too. No, He's up front with it all. And He lays out not only that there's dangers, but we actually see both from the Scriptures and really from what we can see of the direction our society is heading, that things aren't going to get any better. It's most likely to get worse. People are going to be less receptive and more hostile to God's Word in our present day society. And so, in considering all of this and dealing with our emotional state, we want to understand two things. First off, that if He commands, we have to obey. That if He's sending us, we need to go. It's not an option. There's consequences if we don't, for us, for other people. People need to hear, and we have that responsibility. But secondly, we want to understand that in sending us, Jesus has made sure we have everything we need to go forward and accomplish His will. And we've looked at that He sends us forth with His Holy Spirit within us to give us the words to speak. To give us guidance into who to speak to, and to give us strength, give us encouragement. We've looked at how He sends us forth with His authority. He says, all power is given unto me, go therefore. That we know that He is sending us, He has our back. We know that He sends us with His presence, that He is with us always, even to the end of the world. He'll never leave us or forsake us. That it's not just us going out alone and doing His will. Instead, it's us being fellow laborers with Him. And as well, He sends us with His power. The power to speak, the power to have boldness, the power to endure whatever trials that we might face. But we understand as well today, not only does He send us with His Spirit, with His authority, with His presence and His power, He also sends us forth with His peace. We read Jesus' words to His disciples as He was on His way from the upper room where they had the Lord's Supper up to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives. And during that time, He's relating to them many different things about what's going to be coming, what's going to happen, and with the Holy Spirit coming down. But we see what He says in John 14, verse 27. He makes this statement. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so, it's this thought that our hearts do not need to be troubled and afraid. And it's really, it's the phrasing of it is there, don't let your hearts be troubled. Refuse to allow your hearts to be troubled. It's that sense, is don't let your anxiety overwhelm you and cripple you, that it's not needed, because He says, I have given you my peace, and that is why you can go forward and you don't have to be afraid. And He says that His peace is different from what the world gives. And really we want to think of that. What is the peace that the world has to offer? Really, when you contemplate, you realize the peace that the world offers is, and it's what we tend to want to function under, what we've known. It's the assumption that in order for us to have inner peace, that there has to be outer peace. That everything around us has to be calm for us to be calm on the inside. That we have, for us to have peace, we need a life that's entirely free of difficulty, stress, or conflict. We have to have just a life that is simple and straightforward, and nothing happens that's unexpected. Everything is just simple and easy. But I think such a life, we recognize, it's both impossible And it's undesirable, that actually it would be pretty boring if there was never anything that happened out of the ordinary. And, of course, we see the world all around us. There's a lot of different stresses, a lot of different conflicts. There's different things that are happening. And the world's solution with a lot of these things that are going about is to try to put our heads in the sand, try to do everything we can to escape from stress and conflict, to almost pretend it's not there or to find some way to run away from it. It might be where just we with what we say and do, that we just avoid doing anything that might be controversial. We don't rock the boat. We just go along to get along. That might be our solution. Sometimes it might be, well, I just want to distract myself from these stresses of life. It might be with sports or entertainment or what have you. Or sometimes we realize many people use drugs or alcohol or other negative behaviors to give them a momentary escape from reality. Where I have all these stresses, well, I'm going to just forget about it for a moment. I'm going to dive into this substance and have it just kind of overtake my thoughts for a while, just so that I don't have to think about what I'm dealing with right now. And we realize that's all the peace that the world has to offer. And it isn't much good, because it never actually confronts any problems, it never deals with any problems, it just sort of let me run away from them. And if I can find this place where I can hide from all these nasty things, then I can have peace. And we realize that God, through Lord Jesus, He has something greater for us to experience. And it's to understand that no matter how conflicted and how crazy the world might be around us, we can still have a peace within us that is greater than any of our circumstances. And that's what we really want to discover, is that that it's, we think I can have peace if I don't have any storms in my life, or if I'm instantly delivered from any storms that come. But we understand Jesus can give us peace in the midst of a storm. That when things are going around us and we're at our wit's end and knowing how to deal with it, that we can come to Him and He can just give us that peace. We see this spoken of in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and verse number 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's the thing, is that we need not be full of care or anxious over anything, that we can pray to God, and as we pray to God, as we give our concerns, as we give our worries to Him and allow Him to worry about it instead of us, that really we exchange our worries for His peace, and that peace of God that passes all understanding, it can keep our hearts and minds, that we're not panicking, we're not worrying ourselves sick. We're not being crippled by anxiety. Instead, say, God's going to take care of this. I can be at peace. It's going to be okay. And it's the thing, is that He can do that for us. He can enable us to keep our heads when everyone else is losing theirs and blaming it on us. It might make no sense to people around us. How can you be calm when all this is happening? But the thing, if we know Jesus, we know the peace that He gives. And we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be anxious. We can trust Him. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body." That we are have that sense that we're called to His peace, and we're to allow His peace to rule in our hearts, that there can be all these other thoughts going around, but peace rules, where peace says, no, I'm not going to dwell on this thought of anxiety and worry. I am going to have peace, and I'm going to move forward despite what these threats, whatever these stresses might be, because I have His peace within me, and that I don't have to be afraid. And so we realize this is what He wants us to have, what He wants us to experience personally each day as we seek to do His will, that His peace can keep our hearts, His peace can rule in our hearts. And we would say, well, based on the scope of the mission that we're called to fulfill, based on the opposition we may be expected to encounter, we ask, well, how can I have peace with those trying and difficult circumstances? But the reality is, when we see our situation as it truly is, if we see it with spiritual eyes, we actually find that peace makes sense, that it is the reasonable response for us to have. When we realize that God is with us, we realize that God is all-powerful, realize that He's in control of what's going on, we realize He is our shield and defender, we ask, well, what do we have to be afraid of? We read in Psalm chapter 27 these words, Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" Verse 3, it says, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." It says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." That David had this peace that the Lord gave him, where he didn't have to be afraid. And we think of David, he went through a lot of different trials and adversity. Fighting against the Philistines, but then having Saul turn against him and being chasing after him. And then through his life, he faced many different battles as he expanded the kingdom. But then even towards the end of his life, where he had to be on the run again from his son Absalom, who sought to overthrow him and replace him as king, that he went through all these things, but he says, even though an army is against me, I don't have to be afraid, because God's with me. When there's trouble, I can hide in Him and I will be safe. And we can be assured of that. We see as well in Psalm chapter 46, where he says, "God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." And really, you think of our society, that there's so much hysteria on different things, and it's actually something that books have been written of that, of just different things where people start to have a panic about different things. And they think there's a problem and they rush to try to do something. A lot of times their panic only makes it worse. And it's the thing for us learning is that even though there's great upheaval in our society and in our lives, we don't have to be afraid, we don't have to be anxious, that we know God is with us, He is our refuge, and in that we can be still and know that He's God. That we don't have to panic like everyone else, that we can rest in Him. It reminds me of the story in 2 Kings chapter 6, in which the king of Syria, was recognizing that Elisha was being used of God to prophesy where the Syrians were going to attack, and so every time they thought they'd have this surprise attack against the nation of Israel, that they'd always end up being ambushed themselves. And so we find that he said, okay, well, we need to get rid of Elisha so he stops doing this. And so we find that this great host of horses and chariots came and encircled the city in which Elisha was in. And it says in verse 15 of 2 Kings 6, he says, "When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do that?" You can just kind of picture it, that he's maybe going out to the well to get water in the morning or something, and he sees this huge army surrounding the city. And so he runs back to Elisha and he says, "Alas, master, what shall we do that we're surrounded? We have no hope." But we see verse 16, Elisha's response. He said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more that be with them." And he really kind of can understand probably the consternation of his servant, that it just sort of, it's like, I've seen what I've seen, I know how many of them there are of them, how many there are of us, that we just, it's desperate, and just what you've said doesn't make any sense at all. But then we see verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. That there was this human army that was encircling him that seemed to be a threat, but for just a moment, this servant was able to see the reality that there were these chariots of fire, these legions of angels that were surrounding them and ready to fight for them and defend them. And Elisha, he saw them through the eyes of faith. He knew they were there, and that he was not afraid because he knew God was with them. And so in that same way, as we seek to do God's will, we know that we need to. We know people need to hear God's word. We want to go forth not in fear, but in faith. We need God to open our eyes so that we can see. Because with God and his host with us, what is there for us to fear? That we don't have to be afraid what people might do unto us. That God is with us. And God is there to be our shield and our defender. We see what Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse number 33. Or actually 16 verse 33 rather. He says, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And that's really the thing, is that we look at that and from what our perspective is from the world, is it's like, well, if we have tribulation, we can't have peace. And he's saying, no, I've said these things so you can have peace. You are going to have tribulation, but you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be troubled. You can be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And we can think of that in so many different places where the Bible speaks of that, of how that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That we can think of how it says in Romans chapter 8 that if God be for us, who can be against us? And we see further on in Romans chapter 8 how it talks of how what shall separate us from the love of Christ, asking all these different things. And he says, verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so we don't need to be afraid, that he gives us his peace. As we see things as they are, that we realize he is control, we realize he is with us. And so it is a thought that we can go forth, we must go forth as God's people to fulfill the mission that for which he is sending us. And we do so operating based upon that peace that he gives us. And it's that peace that's going to sustain us through any challenge. It's that peace that when someone seems to react against us, we don't panic, that we can relax. It's that peace that will give us boldness to speak. And encourage us to keep going even when things are difficult. And really, that when you go through the New Testament and you read through the epistles of Paul, it's something to note that at the beginning few verses of every single epistle that he makes the statement, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." That you'll see that statement over and over and over again. And really, we understand that we need God's grace to be able to function, that we can't function by our works and by what we do. We need his grace, his favor upon us in order to function and do his will. But as well, we can only function in the peace that he gives us. And so he gives his peace to us. It is there for us to partake of, but we need to surrender to it. We need to go to him in prayer. Anytime we have a care, a worry, an anxiety, we need to empty ourselves of them so that he can fill us with his peace. And as we get into that practice of doing that, and then we seek to do his will, that then we're enabled to do that. There's nothing holding us back anymore. It is his peace that enables us to go forward. And so we need not be afraid. God is with us. We can do that all he calls us to do. We do not need to fear anything or anyone. The storms of this world can rage all around us, but we can live in his peace. And as we do so, many around us will want to discover for themselves the source of that peace that we have in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just thank you for your peace that you give unto us. Lord, just pray that you would help us to live in your peace, to see the reality of things with the eyes of faith, that you are with us and that you are all powerful and that we need not be afraid. Just may your peace be upon us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one last song today.